This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our website. It is cbcg.org. Why is the world going crazy? We have a society of lawlessness that is expressing itself in many different ways, and especially is manifested by the same-sex marriages, which have been sweeping the country. And they are demanding equal rights. But what I want to ask today is, how did we get to the point of that kind of stinking thinking? How did it come about? Well, it actually began a long time ago. For the end time, it began with the Origin of the Species by Charles Darwin. And immediately, the intelligentsia of the universities and college and students and teachers in the universities began to teach evolution in place of special creation. And since the Scopes trial in America in 1925, when they said that you cannot teach special creation in schools anymore, you must teach evolution. And then in 1960 or 62, I forget which, that they said that you could no longer pray in school. And now they have it that you can't even have a Bible in school. Oh, you can teach them Muslimism. You can teach them American Indian religion. You can teach them Buddhism and Hinduism, but don't mention the name of Christ. How do we get to that point? How have we come full circle to literally and totally undo the Constitution and freedom of speech? Now, here's a book. Of course, you know, if you heard my tapes off and on, I read books. I read all the time. And the reason I do is because we have to know what the world is thinking. For two reasons. Number one, so we can avoid being like the world, because it says we're to come out of the world, right? Yes. Number two, so that we could understand people in the world and how they think. Because if we are going to make any rapprochement, if I can use a French word, we have to know how they think. But we also have to understand how they got that way, where we are now, and who started it. Now, let's first of all, we'll come to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Now, here, Matthew 24. Well, let's pick it up here in verse 8. Now, all of these things are the beginning of sorrows, which also tells us we don't know the degree to which these things are going to happen, right? Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. Hasn't happened yet, but the things are being set in place that it can happen. It's happening in Canada right now. If you preach the Bible full bore, you may get a 6-month jail sentence for preaching hate literature. That's how far the feminist and homosexual agenda in Canada has gotten. And shall kill you. So that'll happen. Happened back then, it's going to happen again. and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, isn't that profound? I've often wondered, now, how's that going to happen in a world that's mostly Christian? Because by the time it gets to this point, it will be mostly non-Christian. And the name of Jesus Christ will be hated. Now, verse 10 is a key verse. Very interesting the way the Greek really reads, and I translated it. Then shall many be led into sin. Now, how are people going to be led into sin, but be deceived and not having a standard to know what is right and what is wrong and to know what sin is and what sin is not? Hence, the death of truth. And as it says in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, or 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, where it says, and empty-headed women carried away with divers lusts. And I tell you what, that's the way it is with a lot of women in the world. They're just empty-headed, just seeking after pleasures and sex and sin. How did they get to that place? See, so any of you women here, don't take offense to it. I don't mean you. I mean, you have brains between your head, between your eyes and your head, and you're using them. See? That's right. Well, if you have brains between your head, then you're two-headed and you're... You know more than anybody else. So. Okay. That way you can talk out of both mouths instead. And you won't have to have anyone to talk to because you can converse with yourself. Hello, hello, hello. Okay. Okay, let's go on. Be led into sin and shall betray one another. Isn't that interesting? You can call an anonymous tip on anybody today and say a crime is being committed. Now, what's going to happen when the crime is having the Word of God? What's going to happen when the crime is that you keep the Sabbath? Because, lo, it will come. Let's go on. And shall hate one another. Isn't that happening right now? More hatred? Yes. And many false prophets shall arise. Are there many false prophets? Everywhere. And even in the Church of God, yes, all you have to do is read the listing in the Association of Sabbath Keeping Groups, and you will see there are as many denominations of the Church of God as there are Protestant denominations in the world. Amazing, isn't it? And shall deceive many, and because lawlessness shall be multiplied. Now, how do you multiply lawlessness? We can see the end result in Massachusetts and San Francisco and Portland and Seattle and the different cities in America where they are doing this. Okay. Then the love of many will grow cold. Now, here's the key for us, verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. You've got to endure through it all. Now, how bad is it going to get? Well, Jesus said in Luke 17, you don't have to turn there, but not only as in the days of Noah, but in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, how bad was it back there in Genesis 19 when the angels came to Sodom to rescue Lot? Well, they saw what they figured was new meat walking down the street, and they wanted the angels, right? See? And they came and surrounded his house. And a riot was ensued, and poor old Lot didn't know what to do. And he said, well, have my daughters, because, you know, you can't let angels be violated. You know, and I'm sure he knew they wouldn't take his daughters. Okay. So the angels went and blinded them and drove away the riot. So how bad is it going to get in the end times where we're going to live? Will it get that bad? Very possibly. So, but how did we get to that point that people think this way? How did we get to the point where good is evil and evil is good? How did we get to the point where they cast away the laws of God and say that those who do evil are good? Well, the death of truth. Now, this book by Dennis McCollum, and he is a minister. I don't remember the church right offhand. I don't know where to turn it to tell you that. But at least there are some people out there still holding to the truth. Now, here's what he writes on the back side. What happened to truth? You know, isn't it today? People tell lies when the truth would be easier to say. Yes. But they just can't help themselves. They're so used to lying. The lying's the way they talk. See? Now, you couple that with all the things in education, in music, and they blast their minds out with rock music and rap music and all kinds of stupidity. And let me just say this. Anyone who has to have music going all the time cannot be using their minds. They're having their minds being used by other people, by the music, and so forth. See? That's why, after you watch so much television or listen to the radio so long, you just gotta turn it off. Because you get clear up to here. And believe me, Bill O'Reilly's No Spin Zone is a spin zone. Because if you want a true no spin zone, you bring the truth. Not just part of it that suits your agenda. So he answers the question this way. America is in the midst of a revolution in thinking that impacts every conceivable aspect of life. Postmodernism, now that's what they call today's thinking, postmodernism. Before that, from the 60s up to this time, it was modernism. So you know where we're going with this. Postmodernism, the guiding spirit of our times. Isn't that interesting? The guiding spirit. Where does that come from? Who's deceiving the whole world? Satan the devil. Does he have his ministers? Yes. Does he have his teachers? Yes. Does he have his government leaders? Yes. Does he have his bankers? Yes. And they take a lot out of your pocket, don't they? Yes. Okay. The guiding spirit of our times. I think it's interesting that he didn't put a guiding spirit. Okay. Teaches that things like reason and rationality are cultural biases. And that truth, especially God's truth, doesn't exist. A society that forsakes truth believes that all lifestyles, all religions, and all worldviews are equally valid. Now, there was a book that came out, I don't know when it came out, but the first time I saw it was in about 1972. And I've mentioned this before. It's called I'm Okay, You're Okay. I'm okay if I am what I am and you accept me. And if you accept me, you're okay. The only real sin is criticizing someone else's views or moral choices. And that's what happens. If some people are criticized, they just come unglued. They don't know what to do. They can't handle it being corrected. Well, correction is for good. You see, today, in little kids, they never spank them. They never teach them right from wrong because you don't want to hurt their little psyche. After all, these are little creative geniuses running around. No, they're not. Little hellion brats. I remember one time I was in the store. And here's this little kid going, you've probably seen it. And I couldn't resist. I walked up to this little brat and gave him the hardest look I could give. And I can give a hard look. I mean, even when I'm just relaxed, sometimes people take me the wrong way. You know, when I was in college, David John Hill said, Fred Coulter's face is like a blanket with two burnt holes in it. So I went up to this little kid, and I looked at him just like that, and I said, you be still and quit crying and giving your mother a hard time. Shut right up. See, all I needed was a little correction. See? And I ran away before I was sued. Okay. Next. Opinions matter as much as evidence. And you see this in the news, right? Balanced news. There's no such thing as balanced news. It's either true or false. Okay? And then you see it especially in these talk shows. Okay? Now they have them on CNN in the afternoon. They have it on Fox in the afternoon. They have this little group in the audience out there already pre-selected for their views. And then they say, well, what are you thinking? What do you think? Well, that's a good idea. Well, maybe, you know, that's the way I look at it. Okay, well, okay. And all that does is teach people to delude their thinking. And to accept all points of view as equally valid. And so most of television is brainwashing people to think that way. See, now, remember when Archie Bunker first came out? That was the start of it. Now we have The Simpsons, and where is it going? The same way. Okay? Look at the movies. Look at all the Satanism and everything that it's showing. How did we get that way? Okay? Here's another one. Reality is not what you see. Reality is created in your mind by what you think. Now, where does that come from? That comes from Hinduism. That's why the Hindus can live in such wretched squalor, never love any of their neighbors who are in distress, because they have demonically gotten their minds to say, the only reality is what I think in my mind, and what I see out here is not real. Okay, let me read just a few quotes. I'm not going to bore you it won't bore you, but if you want to get the book, let me give you an ISBN number here. I'm sure there is. Is there an ISBN number here? Let me look. Yes. ISBN number 1-55661-55661-724-724-0. Zeno's Christian Fellowship, copyright 1996. Well, let me read to you from page 203, actually 202. Okay. Now, if you have objectivity in religion, You're committing a cardinal sin against the religions of this world. Because there's no such thing as objective truth. So look what's right on the front of the New Testament here. Your word is the truth. Uh-oh. And we have written the commentary from the point of view that God is God and God is true and He preserved His Word, He inspired His Word, and this is His Word. And there hasn't been commentary written like that in a long, long time. Okay, so if you hold absolute truths, you're an enemy. Okay? But the truth is, okay, we have historically believed that A is not a non-A. For example, the Creator God cannot be personal and impersonal at the same time. See, now true Christianity believes in a personal God and a personal relationship. Religions of the world do not. God is a force, God is a power, God is a thought in the head. Okay, let's come to John 15 because I want to point out something very important that is expressed in what is called the middle verse, middle voice verb of the Greek, which you are coming here to John 15, verse 26. The middle voice verb of the Greek does this. The subject of the action is also the object and recipient of that action, which is expressed by the translation, I myself, you yourselves, etc. Now, where it is used, where there is personal involvement, and it's awkward to say, I myself, then I translated it personally to show the personal involvement of the middle voice verb. So notice right here this verse, and you'll see this at various places as you go through and read and study. Verse 16. You yourselves, in other words, you did not of your own initiative to receive me cause the action to be. See? You yourselves did not choose me, but I have personally chosen you. Now that's profound, isn't it? See, so always remember that. If you get discouraged and down, and if you get in a place where you feel so low that you wonder where God is, claim the promise that He has personally chosen you. And that's what God wants us to understand, see. Religion is not some ethereal thing out here, or some ethereal thing that you create within your mind. It is the Holy Spirit of God within you because God has personally called you and has given you the Holy Spirit with the begettal of God the Father so that you can become a son or daughter of God and live in the kingdom of God forever. See? That's why God has called us, not to play religion. Now, you see what happens to the Church of God when they get in there and they play religion? And they play hierarchy? Yes. Ultimate of the hierarchy is the Roman Catholic Church. Now, let me do a little more reading here. Let's be clear. Postmodernists, that is, those of today's intelligentsia and the world, aren't against religion. Now, you may have heard this on Hannity and Combs. Combs said of those who wanted to worship publicly. Well, why can't you go home and worship? And no one had the sense to say, well, don't you go to synagogue? They are only against religious teachings that hold an objective truth. And you will hear them say, no one has all the truth. For human beings, that is correct. However, God has all the truth, and His Word is truth, so if you go by His Word, which is absolutely true, you do have objective truth that other people don't have. And you don't have to be ashamed of it, you see. But that's what they are against. You tell someone, you know, the Sabbath is the seventh day, which is Saturday today. And nowhere can you find Sunday. Oh, well, that's your opinion. No, that's what the Bible teaches. Well, that's your interpretation. See, they can't handle objective truth because they've been taught that no one has all the answers, which means nobody has any answers. So they're against religion that holds objective truth and the usefulness of reason. In other words, you can sit down and you can put the scriptures together, one after the other, one after the other, just like it says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, you put it together, see? They can't handle that. However, religion based only on personal experience and what is true for me is perfectly compatible with postmodern worldview. But once reason is rejected, see, because if you have an emotion inside of you, that's not objective fact. It may be something you have experienced, but that is not objective fact. We'll see this here in just a little bit. What use is truth if the opposite or the antithetical position is also true? And this is what they have. Your opinion's true, your opinion's true, your opinion's true. They're all equally valid. We'll try that with poison. Okay. In place of truths that make sense are truths that would be backed up by some kind in some way that is positive, rational, true thinking. And that's why I've said many times, you have to think with the Word of God. That's the way to think. See? Postmodernism again leaves its adherences with two things, experience and power. I experience it, and it's my power. So he says, my experience is the basis for my beliefs. I believe it, and if I believe it, it must be true because I believe it. See, there's no proof of anything. And those beliefs exist to empower me. I believe that same-sex people ought to have the right to marry just like everybody else. And since I believe it, it ought to be so. And look at all of these other thousands of people that believe it. Do you see how we get to that point? Okay, let me read another one here. Let me come to page 208. Oh. 206. Anti-rationalism in religion. Animists, that is those who worship animals. And Eastern mystics aren't the only ones holding to an anti-rational worldview. Now here's a good insight as to what's wrong with the Catholic Church and why they have so many pedophiles and why the priests are so corrupt. And besides, you stop and think for this a minute. How can you possibly ever have a rational, normal Catholic priest ever who grows up in a Catholic church, who is separated from the opposite sex, who goes to seminary where there are no girls, who goes to a university for further study where there are no girls, and then he's ordained a priest and sent out into a parish where he is to counsel men and women. How can they do it? There is no rational way they can. See? That's why the Roman Catholic Church cannot be repaired. Individuals may repent, but Christ is going to make sure that the beast power literally destroys it before he sets foot on the earth. So he says, the beast is going to turn against her and devour her with fire. Listen to this. According to a recent study, only 26% of progressive Catholic priests affirm this statement. We are utterly dependent on God and should completely submit ourselves to His will for us. Okay? Only 26% believe that. And at the same time, 65% of the same priests affirmed that God is the divine presence in this world, whom I discover through people, things, and events. Thus, the established church is awash with postmodern religious attitudes. Okay, he makes one other point here. Postmodernism leads to intellectual respectability to views that used to be considered superstitious or weird. And so they're interviewed by Larry King, and, you know, they come on all of these weirdo things. What do we have this movie? It's called what? Fear Factor? Television? Okay? Where they put them through such terrible experiences, where one was related to me that what one of the contestants had to do to prove that they had courage and not fear was to get under this little thing and let them squeeze a whole quart of spiders together and you drink the juice. That's just one. Okay? That's why you don't watch those things. But that's normal. That's accepted. See? All right. Just read a little bit more here. Spirituality in the postmodern religion puts the individual at the center, as we have seen. True Christianity, who's the center of it? Jesus Christ. God the Father. So this is self. Doesn't that sound a little bit like Genesis 3? If you eat of this tree, you will become gods. You will decide right and wrong. You won't have to listen to God. You can gain the knowledge. But isn't it something, the more knowledge that people have, the more evil they become? Because knowledge cannot save. True knowledge can lead to salvation through repentance and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But pure knowledge of itself cannot save. Authentic worship ends up being self-worship and self-empowerment. I, me, my. I believe, I think, I experience, I know. And when they have opinions that are equally true, they worship their own opinions. And what does that become? Just put in your notes Ezekiel 14. That becomes an idol in your mind. And you are worshiping and idolizing yourself. That's the way it is in the world. No wonder they won't be able to stand us. See? The self also becomes the integration point for spiritual truth. It's true for me because I believe it. Organized religion with its creeds and statements of faith are out of vogue. Individualistic spirituality is in, which is lawlessness. We can characterize postmodern spirituality as a flight from the pursuit of historical and propositional truth. They changed the history. Have you heard that in the school books today? They changed the history? Yes, indeed. It's kind of like in bookkeeping. The way the most corrupt bookkeeper can keep perfect books is this. You have a special account called ESP. That doesn't mean extrasensory perception. It means that you balance the book by putting in there what does not balance into the error someplace account. So ESP means error someplace. So you fake the balancing of the books. So just like the way people think today, since they don't want truth, they fake it, and they claim what they think and they experience is true. Now, sure enough, there may be very many true experiences. I tell you what, a demonic experience is true, but that is not truth from God. You see the difference there? Okay? And it... from a flight to that, to a preoccupation with mystical experience. For example, the claim, Christ rose from the dead, it is an assertion of historical fact. It either happened or it didn't, and reason and evidence can shed light on whether or not the claim is true. And that's why God gave the witnesses to make sure it was true. And the God of truth, using the Spirit of truth, inspired the Word of truth, called the Bible, and it has His revealed truth and knowledge. And in the original Hebrew of the Masoretic text for the Old Testament, and in the Byzantine text, the Greek for the New Testament, contains the true, inspired Word of God. Now, a thing that's important from that is it faithfully translated? The claim, however, on the other hand, Jesus arose in my heart. Just like, how did they start getting around Sabbath keeping? Remember that? Remember the first argument that came down the pike? Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus kept the Sabbath for me, therefore I don't have to keep it. See, so since Jesus kept it for me, I don't have to do it. I'm under no obligation. So then you see, you develop a lawless attitude and outlook. Now let me finish off here. Reason and evidence are useless in assessing such a claim. You know, you look at someone and says, Jesus rose in my heart. Well, how do you know? See? Well, open your heart and let me see. Is he there? Okay, you know, undo the zipper in your chest and let me look. See? No. That's why born again, and by the way, I have in there, what do you mean born again? What do you mean born of God? And what is meant by works of law? Okay? See, there is a rational, logical, biblical way to prove whether you have been born again or not. You can either walk through matter or you can't. If you can, you are born again, you are a spirit being, and you beat the first resurrection. If you can't, you're going to be bruised and sore if you try and know that you're not born again. See? So it's the same way Christ rose in my heart. To postmodernists, mystics, reason and evidence are deemed unnecessary when viewed with suspicion. Okay. The more we study and understand the postmodern culture, the more we will see how desperately people still need absolute objective truth. Because, you see, that's the only thing that satisfies, isn't it? And it has to be that when you assemble together on the Sabbath, that you are fed the Word of God. I've had people come to me recently and say, I've been going hungry in Sabbath services. You're fed the Word of God because that is spiritual meat for you to grow. And when you do, how do you feel? Inspired, satisfied, knowing the truth is right. Isn't that true? You have confidence. You can have faith. And that's what Sabbath services are all about. That's what the Word of God is all about. Not this feel-good thing like we heard next door, shouting, yelling, whooping, hollering, jumping up and down and speaking in tongues. See? Speaking in tongues is another one of those, what did you say? I don't know, but it must have been important because I said it. See? Yes. Okay. The result is a lonely vacuum waiting for answers that matter to fill. The loneliness and despair of the postmodern world will open new opportunities for evangelicals who take the time to understand the new consensus. As you can hear in the background, we were invaded by the Pentecostal trumpet-blowing confusion in the room next door, and we've just changed rooms. So if you want to fast-forward this tape, turn it to the other side, please. What we experienced with that emotional Pentecostal meeting going on next door is the epitome of what we've been talking about. See, religion becomes an emotional experience rather than a learning of the way of God. There's a vast difference. And they had outside before their meeting hall, I'll just read part of it, written by Charles Swindoll, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. Don't bother me with the facts." Well, if I have a bad attitude because your facts are wrong, then the facts are more important than attitude, right? Hey, you can straighten out a bad attitude with facts. Hey. And Jesus said what? Here, since we're right here, let's go to John 17 for just a minute. "Sanctify them in your word. Your word is the truth." So we're not sanctified by shouting, yelling, screaming, by accepting everybody's ID and things like that. All of that's a part of the world. All of that is part of self. See? It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Yes. Okay. Let's just review a few proverbs that you know by heart. Okay. Number one, there is a way that seems right to a man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. Correct? Yes. Another one, every man's way is just in his own eyes, meaning that he interiorly, where he creates this false reality, believes that everything he does is correct. Now, Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now let's go to Mark 7. So when you have when you have an emotional religious experience that ignores the Word of God and the truth of God, and you come to the point that everything is true, see, then what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What comes out of the heart naturally, since you don't have the Spirit of God, see? And let's read it here. Mark 7 and verse 21. Mark 7 and verse 21. For from within, out of the hearts of men, go forth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, guile, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. What we just heard was foolishness in the name of religion. Okay. All these evil things go forth from within and defile the man. Now let's couple this with the instigator of lies and see how it works. Let's come to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. Because what I just read in Mark 7 results in what happens here in Ephesians 2. Now, you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walked in times past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. And it stirs up the lust of the heart, the lust of the mind, the lust of the flesh, and all of that, you see. But when you come to a whole situation where everything is equally true, then we reach the point, let's come to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, let's pick it up here in verse 9. Now, when you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. See, because when you come to the point that this way is true and that way is true and the other way is true and all paths lead to God through whatever means that a person tries to find God, then every other way is as correct as the Word of God. Because you no longer accept objective truth. That's why one of the first lies from the pulpit comes direct from Satan the devil, that the Word of God was written by men and it's their opinions. Have you heard that before? Yes, indeed. Not so. The one is their opinions. Let's read it here now. There shall not, verse 10, be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or observer of time, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Today they are accepted. Witchcraft is protected. And they must allow covens within the military on the federal government's military bases. Has the age of Harry Potter come true? Yes, indeed. People believe Harry Potter before they believe the Bible. God says all that do such things are an abomination. So you see, an abomination then is now acceptable. And that's why we have all of the terrible things going on the way that they're going on, you see. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you. See? Now, we are to be perfect with the Lord your God. Now, how can you be perfect with the Lord your God? Keeping his commandments, loving him, following everything that he says, believing in Jesus Christ the way that he says. Okay? You don't have to have all knowledge. You don't have to have all understanding. What you have to do is truly believe in Christ and keep His commandments. And let God's Spirit lead you. Then God can add knowledge to your understanding as you study and grow, and those things take time step by step. It's not done overnight. And today we have an opportunity as never before where we can sit down with the Bible and study it and go over it. And we have concordances and we have commentaries and we have all of the things available to really know the truth. But what has Satan done to this society? He has made it so busy that no one can take time to do it. Now notice, for these nations, which you shall possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God will not allow you to do so. Which tells us what? The warning is this, that as these nations committed these abominations and were cast out of their land, so God is going to take the people of God, namely physical Israel, for doing these things and cast them out of their land and send them into captivity that they may repent. Now we have a perfect example and warning for us, don't we? In the form of the worldwide Church of God, do we not? Where they allowed all of these false teachings into the church, and corruption and adultery and fornication and homosexuality right within the church. And God's patience wore thin and sent people in to infiltrate it and take it down and destroy it, and it will no longer be in just a matter of a few years. As far as the Sabbath-keeping worldwide Church of God, Sabbath Holy Day-keeping Church of God, it does not exist. Now, we ought to all hear in fear. Now, some people get downright mad and cantankerous at me when I say that, because they somehow think that God is going to bring all the churches back together. No, He didn't scatter them to bring them together. He scattered them to weed out the wheat from the chaff. See? Now, let's look at some of the things that we need to do, some of the things that we need to follow, because we need to look at the objective truth. That's why we are to prove all things in the Bible. You know, like the Bereans, they search the Scriptures whether these things are so or not. See? Psalm 119 tells you perfectly how David thought of the Psalms of God, which I believe are a prophecy, not the Psalm, but the laws and commandments of God, which I believe are a prophecy of how Jesus viewed them. Okay, let's come here right to the first couple of verses, because this sets the whole stage for the whole psalm. Now, let me mention that Psalm 119, if you look above each 8-verse section, what you have is a letter of the alphabet, of the Hebrew alphabet, beginning with Alpha and then Beth and then Gamil, etc. And in the Hebrew, each one of these verses begin with the letter of the alphabet. And this was called a hymn of steps. And what they were to do was to memorize it and sing it. Well, I don't know about you, but my memory is not good enough to memorize it, let alone even sing it. Okay. Notice how it starts out. Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. Now hold your place here and come to the very first psalm. Come to the very first psalm. Let's see how that starts out. Okay. The Notice how similar it is. We'll come back to Psalm 119 just a minute. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Now, the new covenant is to do what with the laws and commandments of God? Write them in our hearts and in our minds, right? Yes. Okay? Now, notice the result. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay? Those are objective truths. These are things to give us knowledge and understanding of how we are to live, how we are to think, so that our lives are in conformity with the will of God. Now, I need to bring the sermon on the will of God. Let's understand something. The will of God comes in many forms, but two major ways. Number one, if you love God, keep his commandments, he's going to bless you. Number two, if you don't love God and you don't keep his commandments, you're going to receive curses, and that is the will of God. He has said so, right? Okay. The promises of God also come in two ways. Blessings or cursings. So when people say, "Oh, the will of God," which one are you talking about? It's never the will of God that adultery be committed. It's never the will of God that sodomy be committed. But if you do it and say it is the will of God, you're going to reap the will of God for doing so. Are you not? Yes, indeed. You can't take coals to your bosom and not be burned. See? Paul wrote, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, which is sexual immorality, let every man have his own wife, and every woman her own husband." He did not say, "Let any man choose another man that he desires, or another woman choose another woman that she desires," because that's an abomination. But in today's world, with the thinking that everything is equally true because I believe it, we have the society the way that it is it not? Yes. Okay. Now, how do we fight against that? How do we keep our sanity? With God's Spirit, number one, with God's truth, number two, which is the Spirit of truth, and by understanding the value of God's Word. Now, let's come back here to Psalm 119. We'll finish the first few verses in the front here. Blessed. Is that the will of God? Yes. Are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, you might just put there, if you want to, James 4:12. That there's one lawgiver. Meaning what? All other opinions do not count. See? And if you judge the law, and most of them judge the law so they don't keep it, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. And if you are a judge, then you're judging God. And God told Job, who was judging God and claiming that his righteousness was as good as God, God came to him and said, "Stand up like a man, and I want you to answer me." So Job said, whoop. Where were you, Job, when I created the world? He says, I'll tell you one thing. That if you can cast your rage abroad against the wicked, and if you can do the things like God, and if you can clothe yourself with majesty, then I'll tell you, you can save yourself. But since you can't do that, who are you to disannul my judgment? That's what people do when they judge the law. See? And people, because of carnal nature, they don't want to keep the laws of God, say, yeah, that's right. See? But it isn't so. See? Blessed are the undefiled of the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And that's what God wants from us. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Now here's the catch. Because we have human nature we're working with. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. And how many times have you prayed, oh God, help me to obey you more. Help me to overcome this sin. See, that's just showing the human nature there. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I shall stand, when I shall have learned, rather, your righteous judgments. So you've got to learn. It's an education. The way of God is continuing education for your whole life. And he made us to learn our life long. Isn't that something? To perfect us for the kingdom of God. That's a tremendous thing, isn't it? Now, I know when I was a real estate broker and loan broker, we had to have 45 hours of continuing education every 4 years. Well, God says, I want you to have every seventh day, plus my holy days, as continuing education to learn of my ways. And that's why the holy days and Passover and everything and Sabbaths are so important. You see, how many Sabbaths have we squandered by storytelling? See? How many Sabbaths have been wasted by standing up and correcting the brethren, trying to beat sin out of them when they should inspire them to overcome and let God help them get the sin out of their lives? Right? Yes. How many Sabbaths have been wasted on vanity and stupidity of the minister trying to show off? All you have to do is just turn on your Sunday morning channel and see what goes on. Every once in a while you find a minister with a little truth, with a little sincerity. Okay? But we are to learn. That's what it's all about. Now let's come over here to verse 73, rather. Verse 73. And when you learn, what happens? It takes time to learn, which means that there's going to be some missing understanding. There are even going to be some mistakes, right? God knows about that, doesn't he? Yes. But can you overcome that? Yes, through repentance and learning and growing and overcoming, certainly. See? Now notice, verse 73. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Pretty profound, isn't it? Yes, indeed. I remember one time, I forget the year, but it must have been, somewhere 1985, six, somewhere around there. I remember driving, I was doing loans at that time, and I had my little old Isuzu diesel. That's the one that I rolled. Okay, remember that? It came out looking like covered with white dust from head to toe. Anyway, I was driving along one day, and I remember praying, God, help me to think. I don't know how to think. I do not know how to think. And so I thank God that He has heard and answered the prayer. But how did I learn how to think? By learning the Word of God even more. Right? Yes. That's how you learn how to think. See? And then being able to think about the things that are right and good versus the things that are wrong and evil. See? You cannot discern what is evil and wrong unless you know what is good and right and righteous. Can you? See? You cannot. That's why Satan is so deceptive in what he does. See? That's why he can come along and fill the society with all of these things and weird and strange ideas and practices, and it's normal. You know, you walk up to a clerk in a store and you look at it and they got this thing stuck in their lip and they've got another one stuck in their tongues and they have 30 earrings pierced through their ears and they have 15 rings on their fingers, and they look like freaks with their hair standing straight up, and it's kind of, you know, you do a double take on it, and they look at you, why, how dare you? This is normal. You know, and about that time, the little python comes around the top of their neck, you know, see? And you couldn't dare fire that person because you're discriminating against a good citizen. Okay? That's how weird this world has become. Okay, you've got to learn the commandments of God. That's why we study. Now, what if it doesn't stick the first time or the second time or the third time? Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. It will. God will bless you. Pray about it. God will answer your prayer. God will help you. He's given you His Spirit. Can He not help you? Oh, absolutely. Now, let's come here to verse 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. So if you want to know the truth about anything, what do? You compare it with the law of God. See? Yes. Now notice the next verse, verse 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold upon me, or on me. And we go through that, don't we? Yes. Yet your commandments are my delight. And that's the way out of your trouble, right? In God's deliverance. See? Now let's come down here to verse 151. Oh, let's read verse 150. They draw near that follow after mischief. They are far from your law. Boy, I tell you, what a good description of today's society, right? Yes. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. It's the truth, as Jesus said, that sets us free from a society that has no standards whatsoever. And that's why we will eventually be in great conflict with them. Now let's come over here to verse 160. For people who say, well, that's for those people way back then. Now we are postmodernist. See, we have no laws. You know, who are you to tell me what's right and wrong? See? Okay? Verse 160. Your word is true from the beginning, which says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See? Now, let's come back here. This is one of my favorite places here. Verse 127 and 128. And this is where we need to come. Okay, verses 127 and 128. This is the epitome, if we could say, on how you can be perfected. Right here. This tells you how to be perfected. Verse 127. Therefore, let's go back to verse 126. It is time for you, Lord, to work. See, now when does God work? As we talked about earlier in the sermon this morning, that maybe God has opened up a vast door for all the churches of God to really preach the truth if they would do it. Okay? For they have made void your law. So when it comes to the time that God's law is void, what does it say? It's time for God to work. Now, who's he going to use to do it? Verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. That's how you keep your sanity, and that's how you keep spiritually true to God. In this society called postmodernism, where lawlessness is normal. Okay? Let's look at a couple of other things. Let's come to 1 John, the second chapter, and let's see the standards that tells us this. 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John 2, now in the New Testament, in its original order, we put the general epistles where they ought to be. And the reason is this. They uphold the keeping of the commandments of God. So that's to be first before you get to the difficult scriptures of the Apostle Paul in Romans and in Galatians. See, so that you know you got to keep the commandments of God. See? Now, as I covered earlier, commandment keeping cannot bring you salvation. But you cannot receive salvation without commandment keeping. Salvation comes through the Spirit of God and the begettal of God the Father. So at the first resurrection, you are resurrected from the dead to be a spirit being and share the glory of Jesus Christ. But commandment keeping from the heart shows how you love God. See? That's what it does. Now here we're at 1 John 2. Let's go to 1 John 5 for just a minute. We'll come right back there. Okay. First John 5 and verse 2. By this standard. Now it's interesting, as you will see in there, the Greek is in tuto, which means by this. And it means by standard or measure or similar. It's in tuto. By this standard, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. You see how that goes together? See? And verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. But they bother the postmodernists, don't they? Okay. Now let's come back to 1 John, the second chapter. Now here are some basic concrete scriptures that you can know. This is how you fight that kind of stinking thinking, if you want to put it that way, see. because all of this that is related here in the depth of truth, and he goes through and shows in law, in medium, healthcare, education, history, psychotherapy, law, science, religion, and so forth. See, here's how you keep yourself straight. Verse 3, 1 John 2. By this standard, we know that we know Him. You see, the way that you have faith is this. You know that you know God, and if you know that you know Him, you have no doubts. Now, if you have some doubts, what do? The worst way to handle the doubt is just say, okay, I'll get that out of my mind. Because it's going to come, whoop, right back. How do you get it out of your mind? You get that doubt, grab hold of it, put it right down in the center of the table, as it were, and get the Word of God and prove truth from error, right from wrong, from the Word of God, and remove the doubt. Then it's gone forever. But if you just try and block it out of your mind, it's going to come back and haunt you. So you do that, and you pray about it, and ask God to help you, and it will be gone. Because He wants you to know that you know Him. And the verification of that is if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Hence we have what? Lies from the pulpit. Oh, Jesus came to abolish the law. Oh, the Old Testament is not for us, it was for the Jews. And as a matter of fact, even they claim that the ministry of Jesus in the Gospels was an inferior teaching compared to the Apostle Paul. See? And you find that in the book by Alan Knight, Primitive Christianity in Crisis, you know, Gnostic Religions. Now, continuing. Verse 5, on the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word truly. So now it's more than just commandment, it's his word. We'll see this again in just a minute. Truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. And that's a process, see? That's why we should love God far more now than we did when we first started. It's a process. It's being perfected. And I'll tell you this. Now that we have the Word of God, we have the time, we have the peace, we need to be on a very diligent and zealous campaign to do so, because the time is going to come, and we don't know when, but it will come when we will not be able to do so. And then we will wish that we had done it. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? They waited until the last minute to do it, and it didn't work. Okay? Love of God is truly being perfected. By this means we know that we are in Him. Anyone who dwells in Him is obligating himself to walk even as He Himself walked. That's how we're to walk. Okay? And brethren, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning, showing what? That this is the teaching of Jesus Christ from the beginning of His ministry. The old commandment is the message which you have heard from the beginning. So He's saying, in effect, there's no such thing as a new or old commandment. Whatever Jesus taught is what we ought to do. Now let's come to John 14, and we'll end here. John 14. Now this was spoken on the last Passover night by Jesus. And He was telling them that He was going to go away. And He says, After he's resurrected, he's referring to verse 20, John 14, verse 20. In that day, that is after he's resurrected and they see him, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Here's the key. The one who has my commandments and is keeping them. So you see, possession of the Bible does not equal righteousness. If you have possession of the Bible, you have his commandments, but you may leave it on the shelf. Then you're not doing them. So it's a twofold. You have his commandments and is keeping them. That is the one who loves me. See, so this is love from the heart and the mind with action. And the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So it's a direct thing from God to each one, isn't it? From Christ to you. Now, how's it, Judas, who was not Iscariot, want to know, how's it going to happen? How are you going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus made it clear. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Just what John wrote of back there in 1 John, the second chapter, right? Yes, indeed. And my Father will love him. God the Father loves you. That's why I did the tape years ago called When All Else Fails, Remember God Loves You. If your world comes unglued and everybody hates you, don't worry about it. If God loves you, that's what's important. And we will make our abode with him. Now, I gave a sermon on that. What does that mean? I'll just briefly state it this way. Christ is in you through the Holy Spirit to give you the mind of Christ. God the Father has begotten you with the same Spirit, another function of the Spirit of God, so that you are a begotten child of God. So it is the Father and it is Christ who are dwelling in you by the power of God's Holy Spirit. See? Now, the first time I understood that, it took me a while to really grasp it. But you can grasp it. Okay? Now notice, verse 24. Here's the dividing line. See? There is an absolute standard, an absolute dividing line, and in a world that hates absolutes, there are the absolutes of God, and that's how we keep our sanity and our spirituality and our love for God. The one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now, that's pretty powerful stuff. People don't realize it, that when they're rejecting the Word of God, they're rejecting the sovereign ruler of the universe, God the Father. Hey? So how deceived is this world? It's incredible, isn't it? What a fantastic blessing that we have, right? Yes. Now, if you can help convey this to other people you know who are in the Church of God that are out there who are lukewarm and languishing and not knowing where they're going or what they're doing, or they don't know which end is up, maybe you can help them a little bit. And when this tape comes out, keep it and give it to them. We'll send you another copy. We can always make more copies. Okay? Well, anyway, I've enjoyed coming here, and someone asked me if I could come on the Sabbath one time so we could meet in your regular meeting place, and I will do that. Okay? I will do that. So we won't have to be blasted out with the poorest attempt of Gabriel's trumpet I have ever heard. the Canadian office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, postal code K6V5V2. The Australian office, Post Office Box 81, Sale, Victoria, 3850. New Zealand office, 11 Consols Street, Waihai, W-A-I-H-I, Auckland. United Kingdom. Post Office Box 39, Tavistock, Devon, postal code Devon PL, postal code 199RL. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilro, W-I-L-R-O, Park, postal code 1731, Republic of South Africa.